That's the message right there. Today I want to talk to you about the entrance of God's Word. And since the beginning of the year, we've taken a fresh look at Scripture, the Holy Bible, God-inspired words that give direction to our lives, how empty our lives would be, even as believers, if we did not have Holy Scripture, God speaking to us. And we've talked earlier this year about 2019 being a great window of opportunity for us to refocus and put a higher priority on the Word of God than ever before in our lives. We've established that the litmus test for whether you are a sheep of the Lord Jesus is whether you can hear His voice and follow Him. He said, "My sheep hear My voice and they follow Me." We talked about as we read His Word, we hear His voice. Many people ask, how much time every day should we spend in Scripture, reading the Word? And I say, stay there and read until you hear His voice. As we read His Word, we will hear His voice. And the Scripture says so much about itself. The Word testifies of itself. And it says things that, like this, the Word of God has been given to us so that we may be thoroughly equipped to get from where we are today all the way to our destination. It's the Word that thoroughly equips us for life, every day of our life. And then as we dig deeper in Word study, we talked about the potential and the promise, in fact, as to how we, children of God, can skillfully handle the Word of God. And today, I want to talk about the entrance of God's Word. A couple of weeks ago, I encouraged all of you to take some time the following week to read the longest chapter in the Bible, Psalm 119. And based on what I've read from some of your Facebook posts, some of you took that seriously. So I'm looking at that psalm, Psalm 119, and one verse only, verse 130 of that great chapter today. And it says, "The entrance of your words gives light. It gives understanding to the simple." The entrance of the Word of God in your life turns the light on and changes everything. Now, the Word of God is so powerful, sometimes all it takes is one word from God. I know what that's like, and I'm sure you do too. Times when I've been in darkness and stumbling and didn't know which way to go, and then hear God speak a word. There are many scriptures that can confirm this too. One, and most notably, is the disciples in a boat on the sea being tossed. Their lives were being threatened. They thought they were living the last day on earth because of a storm that had come up from nowhere. And Jesus walked to the front of the boat and spoke to the storm and said, "Peace, be still." And everything in the life of the disciples that day changed because of the word the Lord had spoken. You've had that happen in your life when you didn't know where you were, what to do, how to get from here to there, and the thing that made the difference is one word from God. Well, we need to put a high priority on that blessing for our life, the Word of God spoken to our life. And the entrance of God's Word spoken into our lives gives light and it gives understanding to those who do not have it. Let's go back to the very beginning. And I believe some of you can relate to this, perhaps even today, where you are in your life. In Genesis chapter 1, and beginning with verse 1, it says, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. And then God said, let there be light. And there was light. Now we've heard those verses, read them all of our life. But just imagine what it really looked like at that moment in history. God had created everything there was, but it says the earth was without form and void, and darkness covered it. Some of your lives may be like that right now today. Oh, you're alive, but your life is without form and void, and darkness is covering it. In the Hebrew, the words are defined like this. Without form and void means emptiness, confusion. And the Hebrew word literally means a worthless thing. That was the condition of the earth right after God had created it into existence. It was empty. It was confusing. And it was a worthless thing. That could be spoken over your life if you're not careful. So much emptiness in your life, so much confusion in your life. Oh yeah, you know God is involved. He's already spoken to you up to a point, but yet others could look at you and call your life worthless. That was the condition of the earth. And darkness, obscurity, and misery is the Hebrew word for that. But then God said, let there be light. Okay, four words now. Everything's dark, confused, empty, void, worthless, until the entrance of God's word makes a scene. And God spoke and said, let there be light. And there was light. The entrance of God's word changes everything. Now, we're told that we're not to live by natural food alone. Not just by natural food, but we're to live the life God has provided for us. We live according to every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. How many times has my life been changed radically by just one word from God? But we're instructed to live by every word that comes from the mouth of God. Now, 1 week ago today, I was not here in the flesh. I wasn't here much either in the spirit. We were at home dealing with the flu. I was able to watch the service on Facebook stream and enjoyed it. There was the same anointing you could tell by watching it on Facebook as there is when you're seated here in the presence of God and in each other's company. So for these past few days, we've struggled with, I lost my appetite. And that's a horrible thing because I have a great appetite. On my good days, I can eat. But because of dealing with a flu bug, I lost my appetite for food. And it left me after a few days weakened because the strength for my physical body comes from the natural food we eat. And yet the Word of God is so powerful for those of us who believe that we're instructed in Scripture, don't depend on your life consisting only of the natural physical food you give to your body. But the quality of life God has prepared for us is determined by the food we get that comes from the mouth of God. It's the spoken word of God that gives us the spirit life God has for us. But after you go for a few days with no appetite in the natural, your body is weak. Now, some of you I can tell have eaten in the last 7 days. And because you have eaten in the last 7 days, you have enough strength to put one foot in front of the other and come here today full of vitality and strength. That's a benefit of the natural food for our physical bodies. It's the same thing for the spirit. What if you lost your spiritual appetite for God's word? And yet many believers go from one week to the next and do not feed themselves on every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. And just as it is in the physical, in the natural, if that's the way we respect or disrespect the word of God, we will lose our appetite spiritually. I've got good news for you, though. I went a few days without eating, lost a few pounds, probably. No appetite. I mean, the thought of food. And then Brenda got it after I did. I gave it to her. And now I'm feeling a little bit better, and she's the one that was sick. And so I said, do you want anything to eat? Can I get you anything? What about some soup? And, and then I tortured her a little bit. What about if I go over to Roger's barbecue, bring you some of that barbecue pork? And, she had lost her appetite. She was not even interested in physical food. But here's the good news. I went a few days without eating, had no appetite for food. But when I started eating again, it didn't take me 7 days to get full. It's the same with the Word of God. Perhaps you've lost your appetite for the Word of God. You've not been the least bit interested in hearing Him speak a word. You've been worthless, empty, confused, in darkness, obscurity, misery, and there's been no light in your world. Well, as soon as you begin hearing God speak, you're filled pretty quickly. Sometimes it only takes one word to change everything. And God said, let there be light. And that changed everything in the world. Now, we have three grandchildren in Texas, Hollister, Gideon, and Eden. And their other grandfather, who lives there with them in the same city of Austin, wrote in the foreword to one of his books these words. There has been an energy of words ever since God said, let there be light. Learn how to use this energy. Such great respect for the spoken word of God and for the benefit God's word has in our lives as His children. Now, God spoke in darkness. It was void and empty and confusing and worthless and dark and obscure. It was misery on earth. And all of that changed when God said, let there be light. So now, if your world is filled with emptiness and confusion and darkness and misery, speak God's word into your own world and turn on the light. The Word of God produced light in a dark place. I'm valuing the Word of God perhaps more than ever. I sense an urgency to be baptized into His Word, to turn the light on in dark areas of my life and let there be illumination by the Word of God. Speak His Word to your world and turn on the light. David said in Psalm 27 in verse 1, the Lord my God lights up my darkness. There's nothing like the Word of God that can put perspective on a matter. You can be in the middle of funk. I can tell some of you've been there. I've been there. There's nothing that can bring clarity and illumination and perspective any better than hearing God speak a fresh word. Now, I like to eat every day. My natural body likes to eat a little bit every day. And the spirit man in each of us is crying out for spiritual food. and it is daily bread. Imagine how weak and anemic and puny and pitiful we would be in our spirit if our lifestyle, all of our life, was to just eat a little crumb of bread on Sundays when it's free and being passed out. And then we hibernated for another 7 days, shut the book, shut our ears, and we were closed to any proceeding word God has. I'm telling you, there is life and strength every day for the child of God, and it's found as we hear God speak. We get our strength in the Spirit from every word that proceeds from the mouth of God, and all it takes is a word that changes everything. Jesus said early in his ministry on earth, I am the light of the world. He said, he who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. And then a little later in his ministry, he said to his followers, you are the light of the world. Well, how can we lighten our world? By speaking the word of God to the darkness that's around us. In Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 8, the Apostle Paul said, for you were once darkness. Do you remember those days? Remember your past when you were darkness? Paul said, you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. And then he said, walk as children of light. Another place in New Testament scripture, the question is asked, what fellowship does darkness have with light? What fellowship does darkness have with light? Can darkness and light get along? And I'll tell you, there is one word that describes the relationship between darkness and light. One word. And that word is this: non-existent. It is a non-existent relationship. You cannot walk in light and walk in darkness at the same time, because darkness and light have no fellowship one with the other. And then we are told to walk as children of light. Now, light enlarges a person's vision. If you were to turn out all the lights and be totally alone in the dark, you could strain with your eyesight to the best of your ability and still not be able to see the light of day coming in from anywhere. Before long, you would lose your balance. You wouldn't know much going on around you. You cannot see anything in the dark, but you can imagine a lot. And some of the torture used by terrorist groups when they capture an enemy is they will torture you by putting you in a dark place, knowing that you can't see anything, but your imagination will run wild. And you will suppose there's a greater danger than there really is, because there is no light where you are. It's nothing but unending darkness, it seems. But then turn the light on and a person's vision is enlarged. They're able to see where they are and what's around them and how to get from where they are to where they need to be. And Jesus said, whoever walks in darkness does not know where they're going. No child of God in our day, 2019, has any reason to live and walk in darkness when the Word of God is our light. How sad it is for many believers, and I'm guilty too. I can let an entire day go by and realize at the end of the day, you know, I've not fed my spirit on the Word today. Now, I've got a little light left over from all the excess weight I've gained while I was eating. I'm not gonna blow away today. But how much richer life would be if every day we put a priority on hearing God speak a fresh word, fresh manna for that day. Who knows how many blessings and benefits we miss simply because a day will go by and we are busy and we're distracted and time has a way of pulling on all of us. And the most important thing in our life is the one thing that perhaps goes missing. And we do without so much revelation and so much light simply because we've not shown respect to daily bread that day. The Word of God that speaks to us and turns the light on in our darkness. I'm telling you, we live beneath our privilege when we let a day go by and the Word is silent over our life. If we're not careful, we'll wind up being void and empty and confused and worthless simply because no light has been spoken. No word from God has been heard on that day in our life. Now, some of you, and I don't know much about much, especially Netflix. But there is a popular movie called The Bird Box. Anybody heard about The Bird Box Challenge? It's okay, you can say yes. But Sandra Bullock is in this movie. And I've seen some articles online news about the many people by the thousands all over America who are taking the Bird Box Challenge. It's from the Netflix movie starring Sandra Bullock. And many people, based on a scene in the movie, obviously, are blindfolding themselves and then someone's shooting videos of them trying to get around blindfolded. And it's gotten to the extreme. It created one YouTube superstar named Morgan Adam, who posted a video taking the Bird Box Challenge, and it was viewed by 2 million people in 5 days. So internet sensations are being spawned by the Bird Box Challenge. Some people, this has been on the news, where they would blindfold themselves voluntarily, shut out all the light, want nothing but darkness for 24 hours, and then walk and run into things. Some have even been driving their car blindfolded. Google it, you'll see. I mean, willful darkness. Willingly saying, turn out the light, I'm going to have a little fun, and they walk around in darkness. And while, it can be fun to watch others do that temporarily, it can also be very dangerous and even life-threatening. The Bird Box Challenge. Google it when you get home. But David said like this in Psalm 119, your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. And light protects us from stumbling and falling. Also, light reveals what is near us, what is right around us, that we are clueless, is right there within hand's reach while it's dark. But when the light comes on, there it is, all the benefits of things within hand's reach that we did not even know. It's like taking the cover off and revealing what's been there all along. Put on the armor of light. Paul told the Romans in chapter 13 and verse 12. I want to tell you three times quickly. Then I'm going to invite the praise band to come back up and we'll sing another song before we leave. But three times God's spoken to me from His Word and the benefits it brought to my life. Now I know He's done that for you too. And in fact, I would challenge you to go back and revisit. If you've kept journals, that would be good. Or just to stroll down memory lane and recall back to your memory the times where you were in a dark place and God spoke to you from His Word and changed everything. Sometimes it just takes one word to change everything. But many years ago, I'm going to quit putting numbers on years, but many years ago when Brenda and I were first married, I forgot what the issue was, but she will remember the word we received. We didn't know what to do, and I was feeling one way, she was feeling another way. I forgot what the question was back then. But we were at an impasse, didn't know whether to move or stay and get up and go or whatever. And God spoke to us from His Word. In the book of Amos, chapter 3 and verse 3, which says, how can two walk together unless they're in agreement? You remember that, darling? Early in our marriage. And that may be fundamental and even simple now, but back where we were then, our world was uncertain. We didn't know whether this was the right thing or that was the right thing, but God spoke to us here, and we both heard this word at the same time and realized here's what God is saying to us, that we've got to get into agreement about this or we'll never be able to walk together. How can two walk together unless they're in agreement? Now, that may not change your world today, but it changed our world that day. And it's a principle we've never gotten away from. We've always been in agreement. On the times where we have not been on the same page, we would know to wait and pray a little while longer. Because when God finishes speaking, we will both hear the same thing. And we will speak the same thing. We will be of one mind and one accord. Now, we've done major things, major decisions, moving radically from one place to another all over the world. And we've used this principle. And we've even expanded on it for our own personal benefit. There have been times when I've wanted to move to Russia and she didn't, or vice versa. But we always knew, as long as one of us has a green light and the other has a red light, then we're not finished praying yet and God's not finished speaking yet. And we've also learned that one of us can be on green and the other could be on yellow, and that's still a sign. Wait on the word. Wait on the word. And especially in marriages, husbands and wives, wait on the word, and when God finishes speaking into that situation, into that darkness, there will be enough light that both of you will see the same thing clearly. How can two walk together unless they're in agreement? And that's worked well for us. But it goes way back many years to the early days of our marriage when we realized if we're going to live together for the rest of our lives, we're going to find some places like this in the journey. And we've got to have a principle to live by. And that's it right there from Amos chapter 3 and verse 3. And so we've always used that in making big decisions. Let's wait until God finishes speaking. And when he does, we will be in agreement because we both want his will. And then it takes on a corporate benefit too, not just for me personally, or you personally, but for entire families and entire churches. I remember in the early days of our church was 6 months, a year old and growing in those smaller days. And we were given the use of a bank building downtown. It was a two-story building, and the man who owned it let us use it for free. And we were desperate for a place to hold our services. Couldn't find anything suitable, just a small group of people. Some of you, a few of you, were back there with us in those days. And this two-story bank building that had been empty for a few years was available. And the man who owned it gave me the key to it and said, use it as long as you need it. It's free for the glory of God. We were so excited as a small group of people back in that day. We got in there and we took a few Saturdays and we cleaned that place up put the best touch we could on that old dilapidated building, and it served our purpose. We wound up being there a total of 2.5 years, and it was rent-free. But into that 2.5 years, our church continued to grow and we had filled the place up. Just a bank building on a corner downtown Florence. And we realized we were at an impasse. We had to hear another word from God. And we were in a position to where we either had to say to this gentleman that gave us free use of his bank building, well, it's been good, but we've outgrown it. And now it's just so old, and we've done all we can. and it's not up to standard still. So thank you very much. Here's your key and we'll move on. Or we were open to a word from God. And while we were praying and asking God to speak direction, it was like darkness. We didn't know whether to stay or go. If go, where would we go? Nothing but confusion, darkness. Until one of the early couples in our church, still in our church, Jack and Glenda Goodwin. And Glenda called me in the middle of that season, and she said, Carl, I believe I have a word from God concerning our position with this bank building and what we should do moving forward. And I said, well, okay, what is it? And she said, it's in Luke chapter 16 and verse 12. And Jesus spoke these words and said, if you have not been faithful in what is another man's, who will give you what is your own? And up until we heard that word, there was confusion, there was darkness. We didn't know what to do. Any decision we would make seemed overwhelming. I mean, it didn't make sense to walk away from a gift, a man who's saying, it's free, as long as you need it, for the glory of God. And when we heard this word, though, if you've not been faithful in what is another man's, who will give you what is your own? I immediately heard that word, and all of us, the small group that we were back in that day, heard God speak this, and darkness lifted, and we got excited. We realized, well, it's free. It's not ours yet. We don't have our own building yet. It's another man's, but let's be faithful in it. It's a gift to us. And we could see where, oh, if he would give us permission, we could take down this wall and this wall and make our sanctuary so much bigger, and we could spend a little money and get that ragged carpet up and put down brand new carpet, and we could spray the ceilings and paint the walls. And oh my, within just a matter of moments, we went from darkness to seeing something beautiful and workable. But it took hearing God's word to bring clarity and direction. Well, we went from being dissatisfied and uncertain to being so delighted and thrilled and happy to get to work with the word God has given us. So sure enough, I asked the gentleman who owned the building, I said, you know, would you mind if we spend a little money on your building to make it better? It's a blessing to us, and we're not ready to leave yet. We can still grow here in this building for a while longer. Would you mind if we are faithful to your building and spend a little money making it even better for us? And he said, absolutely, whatever you want to do. So we heard this word from God. And look, over the decades, how that because we obeyed God, when that light came on, in the middle of darkness, that light from God's word came on. And we were faithful and obedient to that word. And now, fast forward many years later, God has given us our own building. But I don't think he would have ever if we had not proven to be faithful in that which is another man's. And it all came when the word of God was spoken in darkness. And then finally, this is the story of my life. This is the greatest example of God speaking to me from his word and giving me direction from his word when I had none. And I've told you this before, but it stands out in my mind, head and shoulders above every other time I've heard God speak to me from his word. It was in 1992, and I had the opportunity to go to Russia for the first time to preach in a city I had never heard of, and now it's famous around here. The nation was Latvia, and the city was Liepāja. I had never heard of that city or that nation until it was assigned to me to go over and preach for 5 days in that city that had been a part of the Soviet Union. Communism had just ended, and we were told of millions of people in that part of the world that had not heard the gospel for three generations, and now they were free to hear the gospel, and they were begging for missionaries from the West to come over and preach. And so I went for my first trip. All I was told about this city of Liepāja, Latvia, before I left to go there, was it had a population of 120,000 people. And I thought, well, now that's a pretty big size city, 120,000 people in this city of Liepāja, Latvia. That's all I knew about it. When we got there, early on, I realized that the men and women who lived there, even though they were poor and didn't have jewelry to speak of, they did have wedding bands, no diamonds or jewels, but a wedding band usually. And I noticed that the married people would wear their wedding band, a simple band, on their right hand instead of their left hand. I remember asking my translator about that. I said, all these people wear their wedding bands on the right hand, and we in America wear it on the left hand. She said, yeah, that's just their culture in that part of the world. So I thought, that's interesting. So we stayed for 5 days and saw such hunger in the lives of people that did not know God. We heard stories from many of them. Even my translator told me that her father had spent 4 years in jail because he had simply mentioned God to a neighbor, and the neighbor reported him to the secret police, and they came to his home and arrested him and put him in jail for 4 years. We had heard stories like this while we were there, and the 5 days were over, and I was on the way back home. 10 people in this church went with me on that trip. And we were ready to come back home and close that chapter. It was a great adventure, but it's over forever, and we're on the way back home. And on the plane, on the way back from Liepāja, my first visit, I realized I have a heart for those people. We saw so many accept Christ during those 5 days, but there was no church that was above ground that was able to reap the harvest that was so ripe there. And so the further I flew away from Liepāja, the more I was aware, I don't think God's finished with me in that city yet. So I didn't know anything to do other than we were on the plane for 10 hours. So I picked up my Bible, and just my natural mind went to work. Well, I'll read out of the book of Jonah, because the book of Jonah is the story of God calling a man to a city, and I'm feeling like God may be calling me to Liepāja, and I'm not sure what that would look like because I just left, and 5 days was enough. So I sat and read the entire book of Jonah. It's only 4 chapters, the story of God dealing with a man to reach a city that he wanted reached. And as I read the book of Jonah, more and more light came to me until I got to the very last verse of the book of Jonah. Jonah chapter 4 and verse 11. And I read these words: "And should I not pity Nineveh, that great city, in which are more than 120,000 persons who cannot discern between their right hand and their left?" And when I read from God's word that one verse of Scripture, the end of the book of Jonah, it was like the will of God hitting me like a ton of bricks. That was all I needed to know, that God was not finished with me and Liepāja. Now, I still had a lot of questions. I got back and didn't know how to process it. And my wife gave me a word, said, "You need to go talk to the bishop, because You left your heart over there, and if you can't find it, we're going to have to move over there. So I called Bishop Miles and met with him, and he brought even greater clarity to it. And that's the one single. God has spoken many times from his word. Now, do you know what that's like? Let me just ask for a show of hands. Has God ever spoken to you from his word and given you direction when you were in a dark place and needed somebody to shine a light? Okay, you know what it's like. But this one example right here stands out over all the many others in my life where God used his word to speak direction and to show me his will for the next season of my life. I'm telling you, we have a great asset in the Word of God. We should be in it every day. God, what do you have for me today? What are you trying to say to me today? Any darkness in my life today, turn the light on in that dark place and dismiss confusion and misery and let there be peace instead of confusion for my day-to-day. It comes as you speak your word in the middle of my darkness. Would you stand?